Certainly we do appreciate all who are present this morning, our visitors. We're happy that you're with us. Those of us who worship here regularly, it's good that we can be together, and certainly it's encouraging to be with one another as we worship God. Let me mention a couple of things before I get into the lesson one. Some of you may already know, but Mavis Hale went back to Memphis this past, I think it was Friday, with Lida. Going to be there. And Lida said that the plan would be to come back Friday. So let's keep them in our prayers as we pray on a daily basis. And the second thing I'd like to mention, those who were here Wednesday night know some about this, but we're going to have a Bible class beginning this month. There is a paper posted where the gospel meeting announcements are generally posted, telling the dates for November and December. Class plans to meet once a month. We're going to be studying a book, and really the book has to do with grieving. Grieving not just in death, but in other areas as well. If you are interested in that, if you'll sign your name to that, also there is a place for you to put how many books you would like. You may need one, two, so forth, so that we'll know how many books to have. And the first meeting of the class will be the 21st of this month, which is a Tuesday night. And the plan is to meet at Melinda and my home. And if there are more people than we can hold, we'll find another place. And prayerfully, that will be the case. But look at that, and if you have an interest, please sign your name and the number of books that you would like. As you can see on the screen, we're going to be continuing our discussion on dressing to please God. This will be our third lesson. The first lesson we looked at, we began our discussion just simply by looking at passages and talking about the fact that God has always cared about what man wears. And once we saw that the Bible teaches that, then secondly, we looked at in that first lesson the fact and tried to emphasize that we are striving to please God as we dress. Now, we're striving to please God in everything that we do. But we're striving to please God as we dress. In our Sunday night lesson, last Sunday night, we looked at some responsibilities that men have. And I did that purposefully. And I'll say again what I said then. A lot of times we talk to women, and the Bible does address that, and we're going to do that this morning, and then kind of say in the end, you know, this also applies to men. But I wanted to give some time so that we as men understand that we have a responsibility in dressing to please God. And the two simple points that we made is that as men, we must dress modestly. God expects us to dress modestly. And then the second thing that we talked about is the fact that as men, we must fight against lustful thinking. And that plays a part in the dress that pleases God. We notice that both men and women, although I think that men particularly have to battle this sin in their life. This morning, I want us to talk about some responsibilities that women have. Before we do that, and this was the third time Romans chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 were read, and chances are again tonight Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 will be read before we have our lesson. And I hope we know that passage. That'd be a good passage to memorize, where Paul just says, I beseech, he's pleading, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he says it's to be not only a living sacrifice, but it's to be holy and acceptable unto God. And that's what we're talking about. And he says, which is your reasonable service, or spiritual service. And if we could get that idea in our minds, then that helps us in everything that we do in trying to please God. And he says there in verse 2, and I believe the reason he says what we're about to say is because there was a problem then, and I think it's been a problem throughout mankind, and there's a problem now. He says in verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't let the world determine for you what is right and wrong. That's not our standard. God's Word is our standard. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're talking about. And you know, I didn't get that right. Something in my mind is saying, that's not right. But I did get that right. That's what he's telling us. And that's what we are striving to do. Now, as we talk about some responsibilities that women have, I'm just going to start in the very same way that I did talking about responsibilities that men have. And the first thing that we have to realize is that women must dress modestly. Now, I want to say a couple of things before I get into looking at some passages and defining some words. And I say this with sincerity. I believe that all women who love God want to dress modestly. And I want that understood from the very beginning. I don't know of any woman who loves God and is trying to please God who is not concerned about dressing modestly. I think every woman who loves God wants to dress modestly. Now, I want to say something else. I know also, having 5 daughters, that it is a battle at times trying to buy clothes in a retail store that are modest. And I think we just have to recognize that. That we can't always just walk into a store and buy what's on the shelf and put it on and it be pleasing to God. Because, as we've said, the fashion designers of the world, they're not interested in what pleases God. They're interested in what sells. But even though we may not be able to walk into a store and buy what is modest, we may have to search and hunt and try to find. We cannot, we must not let that be an excuse for not dressing modestly. And so the first point that we want to make is that women must dress modestly. We're going to look at some terms that the Bible uses. We're going to define them, and we're going to try to apply them. So that we can perhaps be reminded or maybe even be instructed, better understand what God's will is. I want to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We've alluded to it, but we're going to define some terms. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, as the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, he's spoken concerning men, holy men. He says in verse 9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Now, the King James Version says that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And so we'll be looking at those terms. Let's just begin by defining the word modest. Because that is, as Paul says, women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. He's talking about clothing. Women are to dress themselves in clothing that is modest. I've taken from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, from Strong's, and from Thayer's to define these words, what each of these men say concerning these words. Vine says that modest means orderly, well-arranged, decent. Strong says it means orderly, of good behavior. Thayer says well arranged, seemly. And so when we're talking about modest apparel, what we're talking about is dress that is orderly, decent, well arranged, seemly. In that same verse, in the King James Version, it uses the word shamefacedness, or some translations use the word shamefastness. He says that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with this type of attitude. And the first word that is used is the word shamefacedness or shamefastness. Vine says that word means a sense of shame. Now, I want to stop there for just a minute. And I want to say this. We live in a time, and we've been in a time for some number of years, and it seems to be digressing and getting worse and worse and worse, where there is little sense of shame about hardly anything. But what Paul is saying here is that there needs to be a sense of shame when it comes to clothing. And I want to refer us back to Genesis chapter 2, where Adam and Eve, we're told, were naked, but they were not ashamed. Now, there was nothing wrong there because they did not know good from evil. Their eyes had not been opened. Maybe let me put it that way. Later, when they sinned, they tried to clothe themselves. But this word shamefastness or shamefacedness carries with it a sense of shame. He goes on and he says, that modesty which is fast are rooted in the character. So one of the things that we have to recognize is that there is a shame when it comes to some clothing that a person wears. But that is something that has to be developed. You take a child and you can put a baby in a diaper and they can crawl around on the floor and they're just like Adam and Eve before they sinned. But then as our children grow, we have to instill within them, and we have to instill this within them, that there is clothing, dress that pleases God, and there is dress that doesn't please God. And we begin early instilling this sense of shame. I have in my notes all along telling me to be extremely careful what I say and how I say things. I don't want to be disrespectful in any way. I don't want to be crude. But I think about my girls from the time they were very little. And, you know, what you do is you teach your girls to act like a lady. We did. Because I wanted to act like a lady. I didn't want to act like a man. And you teach them how to sit. You teach them as they're sitting about their clothing, and they want to be careful to be sure that they cover themselves. Now, you know, a 1-year runs around and throws up her dress or skirt. You know, we're talking about innocence, but we're trying to instill within our children that sense of shame, that modesty which is rooted in the character. This is a part of who we are, and we're trying to please God. Strong says that word shamefacedness or shamefastness means bashfulness. Bashfulness towards men. You know, I wish that existed today. And I'm not saying it doesn't at all. And about the only way I know to say this, you know, sometimes you see some girls, some young women, and they just kind of throw themselves at boys. Well, they have not been taught the idea of shamefastness or shamefacedness or fastness. Here, there's the idea of bashfulness toward men. They are just simply says a sense of shame. And so what we're talking about is women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel, and here is the attitude, the character that a person develops if they're trying to please God. They're to do it with shamefacedness or shamefastness. There's a bashfulness, a sense of shame. And then he uses the word sobriety. And that word just simply means, Vine says, sound judgment. Strong says soundness of mind, sanity, or self-control. Thayer says basically the same thing, soundness of mind, self-control. And so here, Paul is saying as a woman dresses, she does so in modest apparel. The attitude, the character that she has is one of shamefacedness or shamefastness. The idea of having a sense of shame, bashfulness toward men, and she's to do it with sobriety, with sound judgment. If we were in a Bible class, I would ask, just from the standpoint of women, and I don't want anybody to answer, tell me some ways that a woman could dress that is not sound judgment. And I believe probably most everyone, if not everyone, could give some answers that would be right. If I were to ask men that same question, I believe men could give some answers as to ways they shouldn't dress and as to ways women shouldn't dress. It's just not using sound judgment. And I based on what Strong says, sometimes it almost seems like insanity the way some people dress. So again, the idea is that a woman is dressing in modest apparel, and the way she's doing that is with shamefacedness, shamefastness, and with sobriety. I want to read what Trench says in his comments on the word sobriety. He says sobriety is that habitual inner self-government with its constant rein on all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation of these from arising, or in all event from arising in such strength as would overbear the checks and barriers. Here is inner self-government. And it is such that it is constantly aware of what is being worn, and what we're not trying to do is in some way tempt someone else to sin. Now that goes for men and that goes for women. And then that same passage, Paul says, which becometh women professing godliness, as befits women making claim to godliness. And I think that it all is a key, but here is a key to someone dressing in a modest way, with shamefastness, with sobriety. As we dress, as women dress in a way which becomes a woman professing godliness. Now, I want to say this. A person cannot do that without giving thought to that. And I think sometimes the problem we run into is that very thing. There's just not enough thought given to it. But when someone looks at what you have on, what they should see is a woman who is making a claim to godliness. That's what Paul says. The word godliness just simply means devoutness. A Godward attitude and awareness of God in all that we do. Now that definition says we're going to have to think. We're going to have to give some thought. We don't just go in the store and grab whatever's there because it's fashionable. We think, first of all, when I put this on, is it modest? Does it demonstrate shamefacedness, sobriety? Will people look at me and think, here is a woman who is professing godliness? Someone who is making a claim to godliness? And so I say all of that to say this again. It takes thought. We have to think about what we put on. Let's look at another passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. In this passage, Peter says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Here is one of those, not, don't do this, but rather do this. What we're concerned about, first and foremost, is the hidden person of the heart. Not the outward adorning. Now Peter's not condemning outward adorning. Don't misunderstand me. The emphasis is the hidden person of the heart. Now I want to ask this question. As far as fashion is concerned, in your thinking, is fashion more concerned about the outward adorning or the hidden person of the heart? Now that's an easy one. Do you see why fashion cannot be our standard? Now, there may be some things that are fashionable that are modest. I'm not saying that everything that's fashionable, but do you see why? That can't just be our standard. Because a woman who is trying to please God, she's concerned more about the inner person than the outward adorning. He says next, with the incorruptible, in other words, ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. This kind of spirit, he says, is incorruptible. You know what's corruptible? What we put on. But that's not our major concern. Our major concern is having this incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. Let me ask this question. Don't answer. I just want you to think about it. Think about what your answer would be. And I'm asking this of women. Do you love that teaching? Do you love that teaching? Are you striving to have a gentle and quiet spirit because you know that pleases God? Now, I've asked that question because I'm going to say this. The world in general and women in general hate that teaching. What do you mean, a gentle and quiet spirit? And I'm not over exaggerating. I've talked with women of the world, and that's exactly the response. What do you mean, a gentle and quiet spirit? Well, I mean that Peter says that a woman, when she adorns herself, she's concerned about the hidden person of the heart, and she's concerned about this incorruptible attitude of a gentle and quiet spirit. That has to characterize a woman who is striving to please God in the way she dresses and her character. And again, I ask the question, as a woman, do you love that teaching? That's God's teaching. We ought to love that teaching. I'm going to tell you why we ought to love that teaching. The next thing Peter says, that kind of a gentle and quiet spirit is very precious in the sight of God. And it interests me, it doesn't just say it's precious. That is very precious. And you know what? In the sight of the world, that is an abomination. The world would just scoff at that. And people who might hear me say, they might, well, you're just a male chauvinist. Well, no, I'm just reading what God's Word teaches. And I love God's Word. And I love what it teaches, not only for women, but for men as well. And I love what God's Word teaches here because that's very precious in the sight of God. Do you see the importance of dressing to please God? If we're not concerned about pleasing God, we just dismiss it or we just kind of throw our heads up. And that's what the world does. But as Christians, we don't do that. And then Peter says this. He says, "For in this manner, in former times, holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves." And what I take from that is this. You find a woman whose adorning is concerned more about the inner person than the outward adorning, who understands that a gentle and quiet spirit is very precious in the sight of God, and what you have found is a holy woman who trusts in God. And that's what we're trying to do. I'm going to tell you, that's powerful. Simply stated, but powerful. Do you see why we cannot be conformed to this world? The world just ridicules God's Word. But we're not concerned about what the world thinks. We're concerned about what God's Word teaches, and we're concerned about pleasing God. I hope that I'm coming across as someone who is passionate about what I'm saying, because I am. And I believe here is an area that we as Christians, if we're not extremely cautious, we're going to fail in. I believe I see it a lot of places. I don't know that I've ever been anywhere that I haven't seen some degree of it. And the reason I'm passionate about it, it'll cause us to lose our soul. We're not just talking about something that doesn't matter. It is important because it's what God's Word teaches. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right here. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to say what I said in the beginning. I believe all women who love God want to dress modestly. I believe that. I'm not in any way trying to talk down, or I believe women who love God want to dress modestly. And we just have to remind ourselves what God, and we've looked at two passages. But this helps us to understand what is pleasing to God. And as we give careful thought to what we wear, considering what God's Word teaches, then we can dress in a way that is pleasing to God. I I'm almost through that point. I've got a little bit more that I want to say tonight before we move on to something else. It's important. It's important for men. It's important for women. I do want to say this as we close. Fathers, husbands, we have to provide leadership in our home. And sometimes what that says or what that means is that we might have to say, no, you can't wear that. No, you can't be involved in this activity because of what is worn. As fathers, we have that responsibility. We might have to say that to our children. As a matter of fact, I dare say we will have to say that to our children. We might even have to say that to our wives. Say, let me explain to you, help you understand why this is a problem. And as husbands and fathers, we need to be able to do that. We're not just pulling something out of the sky, out of the air. And what I want to do tonight, Lord willing, is to look at some things and look at attitudes behind some things that we wear and to see how it affects others. I think a problem that exists is that a lot of times women may not realize. I'm not saying don't care, because I think every woman who loves God wants to dress. I think women sometimes don't realize the effect that some of the things that they wear, what the effect it has on men. And I want to talk some about that. And I want us to be thinking along these lines. Somebody says, well, I'll be able to wear whatever I want to. No, that's not right. So we just need to wipe that attitude right out of it. No, we ought to be able to wear what pleases God. But we have to be aware of others. We certainly don't want to put a stumbling block in some. We don't want to cause someone. And I've talked to men, and I'm going to mention it again. It's not just a one-way street. Men have to keep their heads and their minds where they need to be. But women can help in that. And that's what we want to do, is we want to help one another so that we can please God in all that we do. We're going to sing the song that